Thanks be to God for the gift of music. For the last several weeks, we have been studying Paul's letters to the Philippians together. Each week inside your bulletin, there's a weekly prayer guide for you to take home with you. This prayer guide has extra notes about the sermon, some things for you to reflect on, and some things for you to pray about and pray for throughout your week. We have been going through the book of Philippians with the challenge to really get to know this book. And by getting to know, I don't simply mean head knowledge, but that we would put it into practice each and every day. This letter to Philippians is probably my favorite letter that Paul wrote. This letter exudes the joy we find with life in Christ. The theme of joy is one that Paul masterfully weaves throughout this entire letter. And what makes this effective is that he is writing this letter from a prison cell. And yet, Paul still writes about joy that he has found in life with Christ. This letter is probably one of the last letters that Paul writes. And in this letter, we encounter themes like the nearness of God, rejoice in the Lord, the peace of God, which is a peace that surpasses all understanding. In today's passage, we have an invitation to join in that joy that Paul speaks about. And we have an invitation to experience that peace. We're invited to rejoice in the Lord always. We are invited to think about good things. And we are challenged to keep on doing good things. We are invited to rejoice in God's faithfulness and in God's love. So, with hope and joy, we read from Paul's letter to the Philippians. We will be reading from chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I invite you to follow along using the Pew Bibles, and if you are watching online, I invite you to follow along in your own Bible. As I am reading and you're following along, listen for the words rejoice and whatever. Let us listen to Paul's words, and let us listen for God's word to us this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the peace of God will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for the one who preaches? For her sins are many. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, may something, anything really, of what is said and what is done and what is seen and what is heard here in this place be of you and your work in our lives and in this, your world. In your holy name we ask it. Amen. Have you heard the phrase, I am my own worst critic? I don't know about you, but I'm often my own worst critic. And you know what? I'm kind of good at being a critic. In fact, if someone had told me in high school I could have made a career as a critic, I would have said, "Where do I sign up?" It's sometimes easy to be a critic, isn't it? There are so many things in our world to critique. I can imagine what I would say if I was a movie critic. Well, the acting was bad, but at least the popcorn and candy were good. A food critic, you get to just go eat food and then say how bad it was. A music critic, well, the guitar was a little out of tune, but the costumes were really cool. A TV critic, you don't even have to leave the comfort of your own home to be a TV critic. And what about a sports critic? Well, what was that ref thinking? I could have made a better call than that. I think I would be a pretty good critic. How many of us, if being a critic was our job, would have made millions by now? I don't know about you, but I'm also a pretty good critic of myself. Just standing in front of the mirror, my inner critic comes out. How about you? Looking in the mirror, we might ask, "Man, why does my hair look so bad today? Is that a new gray hair? When did all these smile wrinkles appear? Ew. Let's not look in the mirror anymore. In fact, can I get rid of all the mirrors? It's not like my mirror tells me I'm the fairest of them all." Maybe yours does. You see, we all have this inner critic. We have a tendency to be super critical of everything and everyone, especially ourselves. No one is immune to this. We question our ability to be a good parent, to get into the right college, to get the right job. And once we get there, we think, and once we get to where we think we want to go, we worry about not being who people think we are. We question who we are, who we should be. We are often so critical of ourselves, and sometimes we get caught up in the negative, and we forget to listen to the voice of God. We forget to look for the good. We get so caught up in the messiness of life, critiquing our own choices, that sometimes we forget to think on the good. We forget to rejoice. We forget to rejoice in the Lord. We forget to rejoice in the goodness of God. We forget to rejoice in the faithfulness of God. We forget to rejoice in the nearness of God and the peace of God. And if we're not careful, that inner critic's voice can overpower our thinking and whisper lies that we begin to believe ourselves. I'm reminded of what the psalmist prayed. "Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." Some days we are so tired and overwhelmed with the twists and turns of life. Sometimes life feels like running a marathon you didn't train for, so you get winded that first mile. Sometimes that happens. Have you ever been there? Waves upon waves crashing into you, and you begin to wonder, will this storm ever end? Life's obstacles crushing us on every side, and sometimes in that moment, rejoicing seems like the last thing on our mind. Thinking on the good in life seems pointless. Verses like the ones we just read from Philippians seem like far-off, lofty ideas. The desperate cry of the psalmist becomes even more real Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Where do we turn when that inner critic, the voice of that inner critic, is overwhelming? Where do we go when our inner critic tells us lies and calls us a failure? Lucky for us, Paul offers us words of wisdom, words of hope, when he said, "Beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things." Think on these things. Think about what is good. Think about what is holy. This is a spiritual practice, to think on the good in life, to see the good in others. We don't have to look far for the critic to come around, making us doubt ourselves, preventing us from seeing God's goodness and hearing God's voice. In these verses from Philippians, we are invited to think on these things, and we are invited to keep on doing whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. Paul tells us to think about what is good, to rejoice in God, to see where God is moving among us. Paul's invitation here is not naive. It's not like Paul's life was easy or perfect. Paul talked about his own struggles, and he had a fair share of them. Paul says to think on these things. Being in prison, he had every reason to listen to the voice of that inner critic. But instead, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Paul had every reason to complain and critique how he was in his present circumstances. But instead, Paul wrote, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He had every reason to look on the negative side of things and to be a critic. But instead, he said, "Whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if at all there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these things." Paul had every reason to give up. But instead, he wrote, "I press on." Sometimes rejoicing doesn't come easy in some seasons of life. Sometimes we must mourn with those who mourn until we can get back to a place where we can rejoice and rejoice together. Sometimes it's easy to give up. Sometimes listening to the voice of our critic is all we can hear. That critic tells us we don't belong or we aren't as good or important as the next person. But what is true and what is good and what is from God will never sound harsh or critical. That voice will be filled with love. The voice of God builds us up, and that is cause for rejoicing. I'm reminded of a story a friend of mine told me. My friend is a pastor in Atlanta, and he was trying to recruit several new greeters to welcome people as they arrived for church on Sunday mornings. So he decided that he was going to have a lunch and invite several people he thought would be a good fit for this role. So on the day of the lunch, he went over all the requirements, and he talked about the importance of being a greeter. And around the table, there were several women and several men, several college students, and a couple of elders. And during the conversation, a woman named Alice said, "You know, I'm not really sure why I'm here. I'm quiet and I'm not outspoken. I really wouldn't make a good greeter. You probably should ask someone else. I'm nothing special. I'm just not sure I would be any good at this. I'm not really making a difference anywhere." Sitting across from Alice was a younger woman, and she quietly said to Alice, "Yes, you are. You are making a difference. I have seen the way you worked with our children here at the church. I have seen how you go out of your way to make sure they feel loved and welcomed when they walk through the doors of your classroom. I have seen you sit on the floor and color with them. I have seen how you relate to them. I have seen how they trust you. I see how they look forward to coming to your class each week. I'm their mom, but you're their buddy. You're their friend. So you are making a difference. You do belong here." You see, sometimes we get so caught up in listening to the voice of that inner critic that we forget that there is good around us. Sometimes we're not always free to determine what happens to us, but we are free to choose how we will respond to whatever happens. We can choose if we're going to listen to the voice of the critic or the voice of God. We may not be able to reverse what has happened to us, but we can choose what kind of significance to give it. We can choose how we are going to respond to whatever happens in life. And that choice can make all the difference. So when Paul writes about dwelling on whatever is true, honorable, right, lovely, good, and excellent, he isn't just giving us nice platitudes for living a happy life. He's giving us an invitation to turn down the volume of that inner critic and think on better things, to think on the times that God has been faithful in the midst of our storms, to remember the times where we have seen the light of Christ in those around us, and to think on the times where we have felt the guidance and presence of the Holy Spirit. Because we know that Jesus meets us where we are. We have seen countless times where Jesus meets us where we are. Think about the story of Jesus walking on the water to his disciples. Think about the story of the woman at the well or the thief on the cross. Think about the story of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and he wasn't a very likable guy, but he wanted to see Jesus. And being pretty short, he couldn't really see because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree since Jesus was coming that way. And then Jesus went out of his way to tell Zacchaeus to come down from that tree. The Gospels are filled with stories about Jesus meeting people where they are and reminding them about what is important in life. See, Jesus reminds us to love God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Paul reminds us to think on what is true, on what is pleasing, and on what is commendable, and on what is good. He invites us to turn down the volume of that inner critic when it makes its appearance. And he invites us to think on these things, to think on these good things. So I wonder what would happen if each day we thought a little bit more on what is true, on what is pleasing, on what is commendable, on what is good. What would happen if we took just a little bit of time out of our day to see the good in our neighbor? What would happen if we started thinking more and more on the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the nearness of God? What would happen if we turned down the volume of that inner critic just a little bit, and thought more on these things that Paul writes about? We often find the Christian life difficult because we seek God's blessing while we live according to our own will. We make our own plans and choose our own work. And when we ask Jesus to watch over us, and to see that we do not wander too far from the path. Our challenge today and every day is to go to Him first each day and say, "What would you have me do today? What would you have me do today?" Maybe the first step is to turn down the volume of that inner critic that keeps us bound to our fears, bound to our doubts. Maybe it's spending more time thinking about whatever is true, on whatever is pleasing, on whatever is commendable, and on what is good. Maybe it's thinking more on these things. So my prayer for us today is that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything at all worthy of praise, that we will think on these things. Think on these things and go out from here and make a difference in the world around us. Today, God holds us. He holds us in His arms. He wraps His arms around us and He tells us that He loves us. The Lord is near. So today and every day, let's rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And let's think on all of these things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.